Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, it's Thomas Partey. Welcome to this edition of Arsenal Audio Matchday Program.
Arsenal versus Aston Villa, Sunday, April 14th, 2024. Kickoff 4:30 p.m. The contents. Captain's notes around Arsenal. Player feature, Reece Nelson. Women. Sustainability. Foundation voice. Community voice. My fave shirt. Academy young gun, Josh Nichols. Around the academy. Visitors, Aston Villa. Match action, Arsenal versus Bayern Munich. Teams.
Martin Odegaard, Captain's Notes. There were mixed feelings for us after the game on Tuesday night. For the way we played for most of the game, and given how much of it we were able to control, I think we should have got the win. You know, in the Champions League, playing against the big teams, you get punished for every mistake you make. That's what we saw in that game, so that's the level we're competing at, and that's the quality these teams all have. You cannot afford to make those mistakes in this competition, but despite that, we managed to get a result out of it, and it's still all to play for when we go to Germany next week. We have a good feeling that we can win it there. We're confident, so overall it could have been better on Tuesday, but at the same time, it could have been worse, so it's not too bad. It's hard to explain the mistakes, because we've been so solid lately in all the games. What I can say, though, is that I didn't sense any nerves or anything like that in the team before the game or out on the pitch. We had a good feeling going into it, and overall, I think we were able to control the game pretty well, apart from a few situations where they countered us. We let them run a few times and allowed them to create chances and openings, and that can happen in football. It's just when it happens against these teams, they have the quality to punish you for it. That's the main difference. I thought we did well to come back into the game, though. Once we went 2-1 down, we kept on playing, kept on believing, kept on pushing, and in the end we were rewarded with the second goal. That's a good thing that we were able to stay in the game like that and turn it round, and could even have won it at the end. It came down to certain situations and actions that we didn't control well enough, but overall I think we were the better team, and that gives us something for the second leg. Especially that we feel we didn't play our best game, but were still the better team. So that's a good sign. We've learned some lessons going into that second game, and if we use all that in a good way, then we're confident of going through. We go there with belief and confidence to make it a special night. To be honest though, right now, all of our focus is on facing Aston Villa today. It's so close in the league, but all we can do is look at the next game. Concentrate 100% on what we have to do, and go out there to get the points. We need 3 points every time we play, because that's what the league is demanding right now. It's so tight, so tough at the top, and every game is crucial. It's a beautiful thing to be part of right now, involved in all these big games at this important time of the season. Every game means so much, every game is crucial, and it's what everyone wants. Being there and fighting for the big trophies. This is where we want to be. So we're enjoying it and embracing it. We have to go for it every time we go out on the pitch. That's what we're going to do again today. We have the painful memories of our game away to Aston Villa earlier this season, because we feel we deserved much more than we got. I think we played a pretty good game there, but without getting anything. We know we can definitely build on that to get the result today, and use that game as an extra motivation for us. The spirit around Sober Reality Training Centre and in the dressing room is so good right now that we just can't wait for the games to come. We're enjoying it every day, being around each other with so much to work for. We enjoy playing together. We're pushing each other in every single training session, and that transmits to the pitch as well. We're a team that enjoys being together. We want to carry it on, build on what we're doing, and keep improving every day. That's our challenge right now, and we're ready for it. Finally, I just want to say that the atmosphere here again in the week was just unreal. We've spoken about it so many times this season, but it really was something special to have the whole stadium to ourselves. The energy from everyone, the fireworks, the Champions League anthem, and the whole feeling around the match, it was electric and we really enjoyed it. Once again, we want to thank you all for that incredible atmosphere, and we know we can count on you all to be right behind us again today.
Around Arsenal, 200 up in the UCL. Our draw with Bayern Munich on Tuesday night was our 200th all-time match in the UEFA Champions League, including qualifiers. Our first ever game in the competition was away to Lens in 1998, a match which finished 1-1 despite Marc Overmars giving us the lead. This is the 20th season we have competed in the Champions League, having featured for 19 successive seasons between 1998-99 and 2016-17. And our overall record is now played 200, won 101, drawn 44, lost 55, 4-330 against 215. We have played against teams from 21 different countries, and when we face Bayern again on Wednesday, that will be our 30th fixture with German opposition, more than against any other nation. Let's hope we can make it victory number 102 on the night. White's 100. Ben White reached a significant landmark for us in our last league game, making his 100th Premier League appearance for us. He brought up win number 66 against his former club, meaning only Sol Campbell and Lauren, both 68, have won more of their first 100 appearances for us in the competition. His 66% win rate is also the second highest in the club's history for players who made at least 100 league appearances. He became the 68th player to reach the landmark for us and started 96, coming on in the other four. He scored 4 goals and added 9 assists in his first century games. Here's to the next 100. Chasing 100. We are now 3 goals away from reaching 100 in all competitions this season. This is our 45th game of 2023-24, and we have netted at a rate of 2.2 per game so far. The last time we had a better scoring rate was in 1952-53. The goals have come from 17 different players, and there have been 4 own goals. Our top scorers so far this season are Bukayo Saka, 18, Leandro Trossard, 13, and Martin Odegaard and Kai Havertz, 10 each. Last season we amassed 103 goals. The previous season before that we reached 3 figures was 2018-19. North London forever. 5-star supporters clubs. Welcoming supporters clubs to Emirates Stadium on their special match day. Today we welcome fans from Arsenal Vietnam and Arsenal Korea, 2 thriving supporters clubs that boast a lot of members. Arsenal Vietnam was founded in 2004 when Gunners in Hanoi hooked up to create a website and forum. The club has nearly 500,000 followers online and says membership has seen a big leap recently after a lull following Arsene Wenger's departure. The club has 35 branches across the country, with the largest in Hanoi, followed by Ho Chi Minh City, and many of their members have at various times lived or studied in the UK. We have an offline party for almost every Arsenal game in Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, which often have celebrity guests and get covered on national TV, says the club. And how's this for dedication? One of our founders went to Emirates and did a wedding photo shoot in her bridal dress. She had no husband at the time. Meanwhile, Arsenal Korea was founded in 2012 and currently boasts more than 300 members with 6,895 website members. Fans meet to watch every game in the South Korean cities of Incheon and Busan, while the club also convenes in Seoul at least once a month. There are many fans in Korea who love Arsenal, but there's a member who is particularly dedicated to promoting Arsenal in Korea, says the club. Since becoming the president this season, Shwing Hwan Lee has invested more than £12,000 of his own money into Arsenal Korea. Additionally, our staff have been working tirelessly alongside him to unite Arsenal fans in Korea. And although he's not a member of Arsenal Korea, K-pop star Shin Ease Minho is also a gunner. With 3.5 million followers, he's likely the most famous Korean fan worldwide. Arsenal summer camps are on their way. We're delighted to announce that Arsenal summer camps will take place in multiple cities across the UK, US and Japan this summer. From youngsters embarking on their footballing journey to high-performance players, the Arsenal soccer camps cater to all abilities while ensuring that each player develops on and off the pitch in a nurturing and enjoyable environment while learning to play the Arsenal way. Our camp model is built around our strong young gunner model, with four development areas: effective team players, efficient movers, lifelong learners, and champion mentality. This is the same model used by our academy. Our coaching team is trained to tailor the model to each audience we engage with, as it is used across the club to develop young people and players. We believe it leads to holistic development and ensures young people develop life skills as well as football skills. For more information, go to www.arsenal.com/Arsenal Football Development. Whatever the weather. Meet the mascots. It's a famous four today. Please give a warm welcome to Arsenal mascots Eric and Gian and away mascots Lucas and Anya. We hope you all enjoy your day. Welcome, Daniel. Arsenal are working with the Department of Education ahead of the launch of the British Sign Language, BSL, GCSE, as part of school curriculums, following our full integration of BSL into Emirates Match Days last year. Today we're joined by Daniel Gillings, who campaigned for the qualification since the age of 12 and addressed more than 20 MPs in his first language, BSL. From September 2025, pupils in England can learn how to sign effectively and about the history of sign language in the UK. Can you tell us about the BSL GCSE and how it came about? I first heard about it when I heard there was a pilot. I was excited by the thought that I could achieve an exam in my native language, but the government didn't go ahead. The National Deaf Children's Society started the Right to Sign campaign in 2017 to challenge this decision, and that's when I got involved. My MP, Peter Alders, arranged for a meeting with Nick Gibb, who was the Minister for Schools in 2018, where I explained why a GCSE in BSL is so important to many children like me. From that point, I started a legal challenge that helped lead to where we are now. After campaigning since the age of 12, how does it feel to know it's finally happening? When I got involved with the campaign, my dream was that the barriers faced by deaf people would be removed because BSL being taught in schools would mean hearing people could communicate to deaf people using BSL without any barriers. To know this is finally happening is a wonderful feeling. I feel hopeful for the future, knowing that our lives could be transformed and deaf people will feel more included in society because a GCSE BSL and the recent BSL Act 2022. What was it like growing up with BSL as your first language? I've struggled with communication barriers. Because I don't have access to speech, I rely on written English to communicate with people who cannot sign. But often this means I get left out of conversations and feel very isolated as a result. But I've always been proud of being deaf, and I regularly attend deaf events. And I'm so lucky to have BSL as my first language because it gives me full language and identity. How does it feel to visit Arsenal and experience what we provide for deaf fans? Even though I'm a Norwich City fan, it's a pleasure to see Arsenal taking the lead in improving deaf access for football, and I hope other clubs follow Arsenal's example. Initiatives like this give me hope, especially now that BSL is becoming more visible in the UK. Thank you for inviting me to this opportunity to talk about GCSE BSL. These streets are our own. Ticket news. Home tickets. Arsenal vs Leicester City. Women's Super League. Sunday, April 21st, kick-off, 2 p.m. Tickets for this match are on general sale. Arsenal vs Chelsea. Premier League. Tuesday, April 23rd, kick-off, 8 p.m. Tickets for this match are on sale to Silver, Canon, Red and JG via the ticket exchange service until 5 p.m. on Tuesday, April 23rd. Arsenal vs Bournemouth. Premier League. Saturday, May 4th, kick-off, 12:30 p.m. Ballots are closed for this match. Away tickets. Bayern Munich vs Arsenal. Allianz Arena. UEFA Champions League. Wednesday, April 17th, kick-off, 8 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 4+ away points. Wolves vs Arsenal, Molineux, Premier League, Saturday, April 20th, kick-off, 7:30 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 15+ away points. Tottenham Hotspur vs Arsenal, Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, Premier League. Sunday, April 28th, kick-off, 2 p.m. Tickets for this match sold out to Gold, Platinum and Travel Club members with 20+ away points. More NMR shirts for young role models. The No More Red initiative launched in January 2022 with Adidas to support the long-standing work being done by Arsenal in the community to keep young people safe from knife crime and youth violence. Within that, one of the aims was to spotlight the work of people who have made a positive difference. And the latest recipients of our special No More Red shirts today are Esther and Evie. Esther's passion for football and dedication to making a difference in her community is truly inspiring. Despite undergoing surgery that temporarily prevented her from playing, she channeled her energy into earning her FA Level 1 coaching badge while still on crutches. Her journey led her to become an under-9 grassroots manager at Blackheath Village and the London FA Youth Council Equal Games lead. Esther took her mission a step further by launching the Effort Over Environment Foundation last year. This platform helps girls from inner-city areas to showcase their talents and engage them in the football industry. In just 1 year, EOE has provided mentorship and coaching to 56 young girls. Esther also finds time to volunteer at the Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation, and you can find out more from her about her work there on page 32. Evie has recently become a mentor at Copenhagen Youth Project. She is the lead for the girls' group and has been part of the planning and initiation of the program. Her first project has been to create a warmer and more comfortable environment for girls and young women to have discussions, share experiences, and hear from guest speakers. She has already overseen the renovation of the bathroom, and next up is the music studio, which will be redesigned to make it more accessible and attractive to girls. Evie is also a dedicated footballer who plays for Islington Borough, and she is working to develop a new under-16 girls team at CYP. Ref Watch. This afternoon's referee is David Coote, age 41, from Nottinghamshire. David began refereeing at the age of 16 and took charge of his first Premier League match in April 2018. He was promoted to Select Group 1 ahead of the following season. He has taken charge of just one Arsenal game so far this term, the 1-0 win at Crystal Palace last August. In total, he has refereed 13 Premier League games in 2023/24, showing 70 yellow cards at an average of 5.4 per game, and 3 red, one of those for Takehiro Tomiyasu in that Palace game. Happy Vaisakhi from everyone at Arsenal. Vaisakhi holds deep significance for Sikhs as it marks the formation of the Khalsa, the Sikh community of initiated Sikhs by Guru Gobind Singh Ji, 10th Sikh Guru, in 1699. On this day, Guru Gobind Singh Ji organized a special gathering where he asked for volunteers willing to sacrifice their lives for their faith. 5 individuals known as the Panj Pyare, 5 beloved ones, stepped forward, and Guru Gobind Singh Ji baptized them with Amrit, a sweetened water stirred with a double-edged sword, symboling spiritual rebirth and commitment to the Sikh faith. Vaisakhi is a time for Sikhs to reflect on their values of equality, justice, righteousness, spiritual devotion, and selfless service. And my heart will leave you never. Man United update. Please note that our game at Old Trafford has been rearranged due to broadcast selections. The game against Manchester United will now kick off at 4:30 p.m. on Sunday, 12th of May, with live coverage on Sky Sports. Notice board. Happy 60th birthday, Jackie Nelson. Love from all your family and friends at Arsenal. Kiss, kiss. Happy birthday, Sam. Have a fun birthday and an amazing year ahead. Lots of love. Mama, Baba, Tommy, Helena, Pete and Jack. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy birthday, Selena, my ride or die friend. Come on, you Gunners. Love, Jane. Kiss, kiss. Happy 90th birthday to Brenda Swift. Hope you have a wonderful day and enjoy the game. Love from all your family. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 60th birthday to lifelong Gooner Nick Kelly. Lots of love. Lisa, Emma, Lauren, Shannon, Mike, Charlie, Alfie and Arthur. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 40th birthday to Michael Grant. Here at the Emirates today to celebrate. Love from Marissa, Emily, Madison and Lewis. Happy 28th birthday to Jess Olivares, a top Gooner. Have a great day. Love Mum, Dad, Chris and Barney. Kiss. Happy 16th birthday, Ellie. Love Mum and Fab. Kiss. Happy 13th birthday to Junior Gunner Jake Wells, attending this match ahead of his birthday on the 19th. Welcome to the Emirates all the way from the States for the first time, to Bog Cagnazzi and son Gabe Cagnazzi from Norman Egan and family. Happy birthday, Emerson Cozier, from family and friends of AFC. Happy birthday to Sam Charkham. Enjoy your day. Love from all your family. Wishing Mr. John Edward Chamberlain, who will be at the game today, a very happy 80th birthday on Saturday, April 13th. From all his friends who know and love him. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Happy 9th birthday, Liam. Enjoy your first Arsenal match. Happy 21st birthday, Remy. May your special day be like scoring a last-minute winner at the Emirates. Wishing you a year of victories, joy and amazing moments. Love from Mum, Dad and Ollie. Go Gunners! Happy 70th birthday, Eric. We hope you enjoy your big day. Everyone at the club is wishing you all the best. Happy 50th birthday, Pat Houlihan. Enjoy your special day. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Congratulations to the new Mr. and Mrs. Endicott, Nick and Vicky, on the marriage in Bedford on Saturday, April 20th. Big shout to Naomi Fleck and her dad, coming over from Northern Ireland today to support the Mighty Gunners. COYG. Happy 10th birthday to Ben Carter. Enjoy the match. Love, Mum, Dad, Luke and Bailey. Kiss, kiss. Happy 10th birthday, Max Lesiak. Love from Mum, Dad, Amber and the Pirates. Kiss. A warm welcome to the Berman Solo family. We hope you have a fantastic afternoon at Emirates Stadium. Happy birthday, Gugs. Hope you have the best of days celebrating. Lots of love, Reese. Arsenal remembers. Glyn Evans, the best husband, father, grandfather, brother and friend. Forever in our hearts. Mark Ashdown, RIP Mark, 1970 to 2024. Always an Arsenal man and forever in our hearts. A legend whose memory will be invincible. COYG. Danny White. Rest in peace to lifelong Arsenal fan Danny White, who saw his beloved Gooners go top of the table on Sunday, April 7th. Danny passed away peacefully beside family on Monday, April 8th. RIP. Marvin Godfrey. Marvin radiated pure joy and collected friends everywhere he went. He was a guiding light to all who knew him. A beloved son to Godfrey and Hugo. A loving brother to Liz and Sarah. And a cherished cousin, uncle and friend. His charisma and compassion to care fiercely for those dear to him was unmatched. In his work as a talent agent, he left an indelible mark on his clients, colleagues and the industry as a whole. He leaves a legacy which inspires us to be kinder and to live life to the fullest. Billy Ethan Highbury Zenkovics, 2nd of June 1997 to 22nd of May 2023. Huge Arsenal fan, taken suddenly and far too soon. He loved everybody and was loved by all. A proper legend, RIP our beautiful angel, from the Zenkovits family. My blood will forever run through the stone.
Together, Reese Nelson. We speak to our first team players about what togetherness and team spirit means to them. Now 24, Reese has been at Arsenal for 16 years, progressing rapidly through the youth ranks at Hale End before making his first team debut at the age of 17 in the 2017 Community Shield. He has since gone on to make nearly 100 appearances for the first team, scoring some memorable, crucial goals in that time, as well as starring in two loan spells, away to Hoffenheim in Germany and Feyenoord in the Netherlands. Throughout that time, his values and personality have remained consistent, namely being a positive, friendly character among staff and teammates who counts on unwavering support from a close-knit family unit. His football journey began back at school, the London Nautical School in SE1 to be precise. It was there where the young Reese took his first steps into a team environment and fell in love with the winning feeling. "We had a few good players, you know," he says, reflecting on his time in Year 7. "London Nautical was a great school that produced a lot of talent. John Bostock went there a few years before me, and the school was linked to a few teams. In my year group, we had players playing for Charlton, Millwall, Reading, and a few others, so our team was filled with a lot of good players. Match days were a bit like a kickabout for us, to be honest. We used to win every game comfortably. In fact, I only remember us losing once the whole time I was there, so the team spirit was great. We used to set challenges to ourselves in each game, that somebody had to score or do something, otherwise there would be forfeits. It was funny. I played as a 10, the boy who was at Millwall played on the left, and our striker was one of my close friends, still is to this day. I used to tell him to just get on his bike and I would find him. That's what we did every game. From that team, I would say I'm still in touch with a lot of them. They are good memories for me." So, what sort of character was Reese at that age? Would he describe himself as one of the jokers in the group? "I think I was in between being the loudest or the quietest," he says. "There were a few louder than me. I was probably more reserved than most because there were a few loud guys there. But it was funny when we all came together. You know what it's like at secondary school. You have a laugh with your mates, and we were like that in the team as well. I was probably one of the guys who looked to stir things up in the background. By then, Reese had already joined the Hale End Academy. He signed for us as an 8-year-old on May 12, 2008, and was soon earmarked for stardom, playing above his age groups consistently. How different, then, was his life in the academy compared to what he was used to with his school? It was very different. In a school team, you know each other from the area you grew up in. But at an academy, there are boys from all over, so I didn't really know anyone when I came in. At that age, it's a bit more difficult to make friends, but after a couple of weeks, it became a lot easier to fit in and make friends. We quickly formed a good togetherness on the pitch. I felt I stayed the same in my character. Sometimes I was the louder one, other times more reserved. I liked to check in on everyone, make sure everyone was cool. I liked to speak to everybody. I liked to get to know everyone and check when they are upset or whatever. I've always had that. I'm not one to keep myself to myself. I'm one of the sociable ones. Having grown up at the club, Reese is now in a position to help the new players settle in, especially those who have followed in his footsteps from the academy. I've been here so long now that I feel like part of my job is looking out for the younger players, he says. Although I've been here a long time, I'm still one of the youngest in the team. But definitely, when players come up from the academy, I always try to help them. Players like Ethan, Miles, and Mario, I was in their position, so I try to give them as much information as I can. I try to praise them, give them courage to do their thing when they train with us, because I know what it's like to be on the end of it. In Dubai, during our winter break, I got to spend some time with them, and they are cool kids, so I'm happy that they are doing well. I just reminded them they can speak to the senior players whenever they need to, he adds. Reese has been on the other side of the fence as well. Twice in his Gunners career, he has been loaned out abroad. Most recently in 2021-22, when he spent the season with Feyenoord, but before that as a teenager when he went to Hoffenheim in the Bundesliga for 2018-19. It was the first time in his life that he'd had to be apart from his teammates, but also away from his close family unit. It was hard, he admits. I didn't know anyone there. It was all new to me. I was one of the first young English players to go out on loan to Germany, so I didn't know what to expect. It was different, going from a top club, then arriving in the middle of Heidelberg and having a load of people having an opinion on you straight away. I found it hard, but as I said, I like to be sociable, and I tried to keep that side of my personality. We had a great team, lots of English speakers. The skipper helped me, the manager, Julian Nagelsmann, helped me a lot too, and was good for me. Nico Schultz, so many of the players. Joel Linton was there that season, but his English wasn't great. Reese netted 7 times from 23 Bundesliga appearances for Hoffenheim, and he says the way he settled into life off the pitch helped him massively on it. My whole thing was that I was there to do a job, he says. I was really insistent that I wanted to go on loan at that stage. I pushed for it, so I knew I had to go there and prove to myself and everyone at Arsenal that I was good enough to play. So I put my head down, tried to play as many games as I could. That was my focus, and it becomes easier to settle in when you're playing. Your energy is up. I remember I scored on my debut, and that night we went out for dinner, and I got to know a lot of people. From then on it was easier, and in my second training session I backed myself and found myself in a group of about 6 or 7 of us who got on well. I 100% believe you have to fit into the team and understand it. So a lot of it is off the pitch as well, getting to know people. I believe the better relationships you can form, the better it is on the pitch when you are with them. For Reese, this time in Germany was also a time to grow up, become more independent, and learn about the things he'd previously taken for granted. I was 18 when I went to Hoffenheim, and the first few months were easier because I had my family with me. My brother and a friend were there with me, but when they went back, I was on my own for a few months. That's what I found hard, living on my own for the first time in a foreign country. It's the little things, you know, knowing when the supermarket's shut, what days things are open, doing the housework, the washing. I'd never done that before. My family were constantly calling me, though, checking in on me, making sure I was okay, even if they weren't with me. Family has always been important for Rhys. His sister regularly drove him to training sessions at Hale End, and he spent a lot of time with his siblings growing up when they worked at the local youth club, mainly playing pool and table tennis. He played so much table tennis, in fact, that he backs himself as probably the best in the league at it. Nowadays, they are a huge part of his support network. And once again, the Nelson family will be here in their numbers today at Emirates Stadium. "My whole family live on the same road as me," says Rhys, who was born in Elephant and Castle. "We all live next door to each other. There are quite a few of us, to be fair. That's what keeps me going. They are my drive, my backbone, and they come to every game to support me. My nieces and nephews love it, and I'm so proud that they can watch me at their age playing for a great team like Arsenal. Hopefully it gives them something to look forward to, watching their uncle play at the weekend or in a Champions League game. That's a really nice feeling. They are in my mind when I play. Celebrations and things like that are towards them, because all of my family have been a huge part of my career." So, Rhys has his real family, and his Arsenal family have virtually become intertwined over the years, having spent more than half his life as an Arsenal player. And he says the spirit right now within the squad is as good as he's known. "It's amazing," he smiles. "I've been a part of loads of different groups here, coming through the age groups, and I feel like there's no divide at all between any of the players here. I feel like any player or any of the staff can go and sit on any table here and speak to anyone. And the good thing is we know each other so well that we don't have to just speak about football. It can be about anything, and that's really nice. I think the boss has done really well to get that team camaraderie, where everybody gets together and understands each other on a personal level. It's really good."
Arsenal women. Leah's back for the Lionesses. Leah Williamson made an emotional return to international football as she led England to a 2-0 win over the Republic of Ireland in Dublin on Tuesday. The Lionesses captain made her first international appearance for 364 days as goals from Lauren James and Alex Greenwood gave Serena Weichmann's team their first victory of the Euro 2025 qualifying campaign. Speaking before the game, Williamson said, "It will be emotional. I'm an emotional person. We've all seen me cry on many occasions. It was emotional on Friday against Sweden when Williamson was on the bench. Because if there's a team you want to be in the world, England would be right up there. I love playing for England. I've enjoyed watching the girls. I've enjoyed being part of that journey in a different way. Obviously, I've got people that play for the team who are very important to me. It's been a difficult journey. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a thing I'd had my focus on. This is where I wanted to get back to. I wanted to be good enough to get back into the squad. I've had some of the best memories of my life as part of this team." She will be hoping for many more as she played the full 90 minutes and helped the Lionesses to a clean sheet in Dublin, despite a late rally from a Republic team inspired by a captain's performance from Katie McCabe. Alessio Russo was also in the starting lineup and played 86 minutes, while Beth Mead came on in the 56th minute and Lotte Vuben-Moy was an unused sub. Before that, Russo was on target as the Lionesses were held to a 1-1 draw by Sweden at Wembley on Friday, April 5th. The Arsenal striker opened the scoring on 24 minutes when she headed home a pinpoint cross from James, but England were unable to build on the opening goal and Fridolina Rolfo equalised 20 minutes into the second half. Russo made way for Chloe Kelly for the final 10 minutes, while Vuben-Moy played the whole 90 minutes in defence and Mead was introduced from the bench on 68 minutes. International Roundup. A host of other Gunners have been on international duty this week, and there were highs and lows on both sides of the Atlantic. The highest of highs came for Emily Fox as the United States beat Canada on penalties following a 2-2 draw after extra time to lift the She Believes Cup in Columbus, Ohio. Chloe Lacasse came on at half-time for Canada, who also lost to the United States in the semi-finals of the Gold Cup last month. Goalkeeper Sabrina D'Angelo was an unused substitute. Back in Europe, there were mixed fortunes for our internationals. In the first round of Euro qualifiers, Catherine Kuhl, who is currently on loan at Everton, helped Denmark to a 3-1 win in Czechia. And Lea Codina was an unused substitute in Spain's 7-0 win in Belgium. But elsewhere there was disappointment. Katie McCabe's Republic of Ireland lost 1-0 in France, Victoria Pelova's Netherlands went down 2-0 in Italy, and Manuela Zinsberger couldn't prevent Germany winning 3-2 in Austria, despite the hosts leading 2-1 at half-time. There was brighter news for the latter two in the second round of qualifiers on Tuesday, as the Netherlands won 1-0 at home to Norway, who were without the recovering Frieda Manum, and Austria got their first points on the board with a 3-1 win in Poland. Kuhl played 86 minutes as Denmark won again, 4-2 at home to Belgium. But there was disappointment for Blackstenius as Sweden lost 1-0 at home to France. Codina missed Spain's 3-1 win over Czechia. Gunners in action tonight. Arsenal play their first game since lifting the Continental Cup when they face the Women's Super League bottom club Bristol City at Meadow Park at 6:45pm this evening. This match was originally scheduled to take place on March 31st, when we ended up being busy lifting silverware, is an opportunity for the Gunners to tighten their grip on third place and the final Champions League spot for next season. We are currently 6 points ahead of Manchester United with a game in hand, and while a title challenge is now looking less likely, victory this evening would close the gap to Manchester City at the top of the table back to 6 points. We have beaten Bristol City twice already this season, although both games were hard-fought affairs. We triumphed 2-1 at Ashton Gate in October thanks to a brace from Katie McCabe, then beat the West Country Club 3-1 in the Continental Cup group stage in November. We led 2-0 thanks to goals from Frieda Manum and Lotte Vuben Mooi until the visitors pulled one back on 70 minutes through Sila Struck, only for Stina Blackstenius to make the points safe in the 96th minute. Tonight's game is live on Sky Sports, should you want to see more Arsenal when you get home. Don't forget that we will also be playing here at Emirates Stadium for one last time this season when we face Leicester City next Sunday. Kick-off 2 p.m. Tickets are available at arsenal.com/tickets. Walk in her name. We want to say a big well done to everyone who took part in this year's Walk in Her Name, the 100-mile charity walk to raise money for ovarian cancer action in honour of June Mead. The walk has raised more than £11,000 to date this year, which combined with the first one in 2023 adds up to a total of more than £23,000 in just 12 months. But you can still donate via AWSC_walkinhername on Instagram or by scanning the QR code in the programme. Gunners link up for Australia. Talking of internationals, Caitlin Ford was on target as Australia beat Mexico 2-0 in a friendly in the United States on Wednesday, with the assist coming from club colleague Steph Catley. Kyra Cooney-Cross was also in action, playing 87 minutes for the Matildas as they gear up for this summer's Paris Olympics.
Sustainability. Arsenal acts. Regenerative Reds. Players at the Arsenal Academy have long benefited from a broad range of educational programmes throughout their time at Hale End. The Academy Players Leadership Group, APLG, features two player representatives per age group across the under-9 to under-16 teams at Hale End. Voted by their teammates and staff, the group comes together each season to learn about leadership and aims to show courage to make an impact by taking responsibility around a topic that resonates with the players. This season, the group are focused on sustainability and the environment, looking at climate change, how we impact the environment, and how, through making different choices, we can start to reduce our emissions. As part of this year-long project, the APLG research recently took them to Overbury Farm in Gloucestershire. While visiting, they were able to learn more about the regenerative farming method that Overbury Farm has been using. Regenerative farming creates healthy soil by rebuilding healthy organic matter and the natural living biodiversity in the soil. Healthy soil is vital not only to help grow nutritious food, but also for drawing in carbon from the air, holding water, and providing homes for wildlife, both above and below the ground. Regenerative farming is also less reliant on chemicals, such as artificial fertilizers and pesticides, while also promoting biodiversity and reducing deforestation and land degradation. Courtesy of Your Pact and the Green Farm Collective, the trip allowed the boys to plant trees and make tree guards, understand sustainable farming, and recognise the importance of locally grown produce. From their learnings, the boys are now keen to implement some of these strategies at our Hale End site to reduce our emissions and increase biodiversity. Watch this space. The forest is thriving. The very latest pictures of our Arsenal forest have arrived, taken on April the 4th, and our planting project in Bor, Kenya, looks like, well, a forest. Remember, we only started planting our forest in December 2021, our first season of offsetting all the carbon generated in the production of the matchday programme. And we have now planted an incredible 35,200 trees, the equivalent of 19 Emirates Stadium pitches, through the contributions of the club, but also, crucially, thousands from supporters who have enjoyed being part of the scheme. Thank you. And remember, the forest supports over 70 workers in Kenya in a variety of roles. The latest pictures in the hard copy of this programme illustrate how the recent incessant rain has made the amazing growing conditions on the equator even more potent, although it also means our team on the ground have plenty of weeding to do. Be a part of the Arsenal Forest. For more on the project and to buy your own trees for just £1 each, scan the QR code in the hard copy of your programme.
Foundation Voice. No more red voice. Arsenal Acts. The Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation is a charity partner of the Arsenal and Adidas No More Red campaign, and April 22nd is Stephen Lawrence Day. Esther Opie Elias, aged 18, tells us how the foundation has inspired her to help change society. I'm the founder of an organisation called the Effort Over Environment Foundation, where our mission is to showcase, engage and inspire minority and inner-city girls who are currently involved in the football industry or aspire to build a career within it. On top of that, I'm an under-18 coach at Crystal Palace Women, as well as an under-16 scout for a boys' talent identification centre. The alarming rate of knife crime has left a profound mark on our communities, and that has driven us to take action. Inspired by initiatives like Arsenal's No More Red campaign, we recognise the power of football as a vehicle for change, how it can be used to deter young people from resorting to violence and provide them with constructive pathways. We offer support, guidance and opportunities within the football industry to help steer people away from the dangers of knife crime and towards a brighter future. I became aware of No More Red through the Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation, which I had in turn discovered on a CV workshop they ran with Adidas. I was drawn to be involved with the Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation because I deeply admire their cause and their resilience in creating a lasting legacy for change. The Foundation's commitment to promoting social justice and equality resonates with me on a profound level. Stephen Lawrence's story serves as a poignant reminder of the injustices that persist in our society, and I'm inspired by the Foundation's dedication to honouring his memory by advocating for positive societal transformation. I wanted to join forces with the Foundation to contribute to their mission of fostering a more inclusive and equitable world for all. I volunteered in outreach programs during the Foundation's 30th anniversary commemorations, taking part in activities aimed at raising awareness and promoting the Foundation's mission. I also helped during the memorial service to honour Stephen Lawrence's legacy and advocate for justice and equality. I feel I've been privileged to play a role in advancing the Foundation's work and fostering positive change in our communities. Being involved with the Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation has had a profound impact on me. Not only has it provided me with invaluable mentorship, but it has also opened doors to some great career opportunities. The guidance and support I've received from the Foundation have been instrumental in my personal and professional growth. I've gained a deeper understanding of social justice issues and the importance of advocacy, further fueling my commitment to creating positive change. It's shaped both my outlook on the world and my trajectory in life. Stephen Lawrence Day is held each year on April 22nd to commemorate the 18-year-old who was murdered in a racially motivated attack in 1993. It's an opportunity for people, communities and organisations to come together and honour Stephen's life and legacy, stand up against discrimination in our daily lives, and work towards a more hopeful tomorrow. Through reflection, learning and action, we can inspire change and create a better future for the next generation, says the Stephen Lawrence Day Foundation. The Foundation works in classrooms and communities to give marginalised young people support and access to professional opportunities across a wide range of sectors and industries. For more information, visit stephenlawrenceday.org, and for more on No More Red, visit arsenal.com/community. Stephen Lawrence Day is crucial for raising awareness about racism and inequality. It commemorates Stephen Lawrence's life and tragic death, prompting reflection and action towards a more just and inclusive society. The No More Red campaign is also incredibly important. It not only raises awareness about the devastating impact of knife crime, but also provides vital pathways and a supportive community for individuals at risk. By promoting alternatives to violence and offering resources for education, employment and mentorship, the campaign empowers young people to make positive choices and build brighter futures. It fosters a sense of belonging and solidarity within communities, uniting individuals in the shared goal of creating safer and more resilient neighbourhoods. Overall, the No More Red campaign plays a vital role in addressing the root causes of knife crime and providing hope for a better tomorrow.
Community Voice. Arsenal Acts. Programme Premier League Kicks. Available to young people aged from 8 to 18. Sessions. Available at estates and parks all over Islington, Camden and Hackney. For more information, contact Senior Inclusion Coordinator Ashley King at aking@arsenal.co.uk. The Premier League Kicks programme is a nationwide initiative encompassing 90 clubs across Premier League, English Football League and National League, collaborating with 36 police forces. Together they offer young people access to free weekly football sessions and educational workshops in safe and supportive community environments. The goal of this project is to establish weekly activities in secure local spaces and use the power of football and sports to inspire young individuals to reach their full potential. By providing opportunities such as volunteering, employment and accredited qualifications, the programme aims to empower participants and foster their personal growth. Sessions take place in estates and parks across Islington, Hackney and Camden, focusing on areas identified by local partners as requiring positive provisions for young people. Evening activities are held across 10 estates and parks, predominantly using small astroturf pitches. These spaces serve as safe havens, easily accessible to local youth, where our coaches and staff, many of whom are former participants of the KICS program, become role models with whom participants can build positive relationships. These coaches are ideally placed to support the development of participants both on and off the field. Annually, the KICS program engages around 1,800 young people, many of whom remain connected to the program for several years, progressing into further learning, training, or employment opportunities. KICS offers a variety of developmental opportunities, ranging from assistance with employment and education to participation in broader social action projects. Consistency in program scheduling, location and staffing is paramount. This consistency fosters a sense of belonging within the local community and facilitates positive connection within the area. We extend our gratitude to the Premier League Charitable Fund for their funding contributions, which enable us to offer free, accessible sessions for all young people. Their support is instrumental in the success and sustainability of this long-standing programme.
My fave shirt. Supporters tell us about an Arsenal shirt they hold in particular affection. Jason Lee is aged 52 and is an American currently living in Denmark. His favourite shirt is one that saw highs and lows while being worn by David Seaman. I've been supporting Arsenal since the 1999 FA Cup semi-final replay against Manchester United. Ryan Giggs slalomed through our defence and scored the ultimate winner. After that, I had a sinking feeling and have been a supporter ever since. The favourite Arsenal shirt that I own is 1994/95 Nike goalkeeper shirts in every colourway. Growing up, I played football in high school and our best player was the goalkeeper. He rocked an epic mullet, rode a mint green Bianchi and flew through the air to make saves that the mortal man couldn't. Goalkeepers have been known as the loose cannons, pun intended, who march by the beat of their own drum, and that life philosophy resonates with me. This shirt is the epitome of 90s design, with a flamboyant star centre front and all-over pattern around it. It's unapologetic. Of course, the player I associate with that shirt is David Seaman, although my favourite player, Arsenal or otherwise, will always be Thierry Henry. He was the total package. Speed, skill, intelligence, with the ability to make something out of nothing. Deserving of the Ballon d'Or. For all the wrong reasons, the shirt reminds me of the 1995 UEFA Cup Winners' Cup final when David Seaman was lobbed from 40 yards out to let in the winning goal of the final against Zaragoza. Needless to say, real support comes during the hard times, and I'll always weather those storms. I know the history from that era via reading online and watching on YouTube, but because I hadn't started supporting Arsenal until 1999, the feelings aren't as visceral as post-1999. The shirt makes me think of my first foray into shirt collecting, which began with 90s goalkeeper shirts. I've always been a fan of both, from the neon designs from Mexico's Jorge Campos to the Adidas Typhoon template worn by Germany's Bodo Ilgner. Goalkeepers and their shirts will always have a special place in my heart. I started collecting all things Arsenal in 2015, and at one point I had 6 of the GK shirts in the assorted colours. I remember that I paid a fraction of what they go for now, so I must have picked them up between 2015 and 2018 off eBay. I never wear this one though. It's a work of art. Did you know? As regular readers of this page will know, the 1994/95 season was a miserable one for Arsenal, who limped to 12th place in the Premier League. The highlight was our run to the European Cup Winners' Cup final, as we looked to become the first team to defend the trophy. In fact, the high point of the entire season was the semi-final win over Sampdoria, which went to penalties after the Gunners won 3-2 at Highbury and then lost by the same scoreline in Italy. David Seaman was the hero, making sensational saves from Sinisa Mikhailovic, Vladimir Jugovic and Attilio Lombardo in the shootout to secure a 3-2 win. Let's not talk about the final, eh? Are you a shirt collector? If you share an interest in collecting Arsenal kit, there is an Arsenal shirt collectors group of over 3,500 members worldwide who buy, sell and swap Arsenal kit from all seasons. All welcome. You can find them on Twitter at @shirt_Arsenal or Facebook www.facebook.com/groups/9862024261.
Academy Young Gun, Josh Nichols, The Basics. Born 26th of the 7th, 2006. Joined under nines. Height 5'8". Position right back, left back. Boots Adidas X. School Harris Academy, Riverside, Purfleet. Number 89. Rate yourself out of 100. Pace 90, dribbling 87, passing 84, shooting 75, defending 80, physical 68. I was born in Newham and I grew up around Dagenham. When I was around 9 or 10, I moved out to Essex and started playing football at the Sunday League level for my local team called Euro Dagenham, and I just loved it. My dad was big into football too. He used to play and now coaches, so he has encouraged me a lot. My family background is that my mum is Nigerian and my dad is Jamaican and Guyanese. In school, I did a lot of athletics and sprinting, but I was good at long jump. That was one of my specialities. Growing up, I always loved skills, so guys like Neymar and Ronaldinho were people I enjoyed watching. Of course, I looked up to Messi as he's just a brilliant player and plays the game the right way. The first academy I got a trial for was West Ham, when I was around 6 or 7 years old, but I didn't get signed. Then I went to Chelsea, and I was close to signing for them as they invited me back after my trial, but the journey was just too far from where I lived, so I never ended up joining. After that, I went to Tottenham, and I was there for a while. Just as I was about to sign, I got a trial at Arsenal, so I went and did it, but I didn't get in, so I went back to Tottenham. Believe it or not, 2 weeks later, Arsenal had a change of heart and decided to sign me. I was so happy because I've always been an Arsenal fan and my whole family was so happy. It was a great moment. I joined young at under nines level, so the only players I remember that were there when I got there were Miles Lewis-Skelly and Ethan Nwaneri. My position has changed because, growing up, I was actually a striker and that's the position I was scouted for when I went to West Ham. I then transitioned to a winger, and then there was one season where I started playing right back. Since then, I've really enjoyed that role. The standout moments from Hail End days, I would say, were the tours that we went on. There was one year when we went to Japan, which is such a beautiful country, and I think it was the furthest country we'd been to at the time. During that tour, we got to the final where we played Barcelona, and that was an experience. To then get my scholarship wasn't an easy time because I got my decision during lockdown, so all our calls were online, and I remember when they confirmed it, I just ran down the road in excitement. I was so happy. Going from Hail End to Sober Realty Training Centre is humbling as a scholar because everything is more intense. The training is harder, you have longer days, and it's a whole different ball game. It shows how football works and opens the door to the reality of how hard you need to work to make it at Arsenal. Being coached by Jack Wilshere in the under-18s is a blessing because he's got such invaluable experience and was playing first team at the ages we're at now. He's so good to work with and I enjoy every minute of it. I've played under-21s football more regularly this season and it's completely different from under-18s football. It's a lot more physical, and being one of the smallest in the team, it has its challenges, But it's an amazing experience and I've adapted well to it. I just want to continue playing regularly and getting more minutes. I also played in the under-19s UEFA Youth League this season, which was also a great experience. I scored in the final group game away to PSV Eindhoven, which was brilliant for me. I was gutted that my mum couldn't be there, as she's always at the games with me, and I would have loved to have celebrated it with her, but with it being abroad, it made it more difficult. Training with the first team is nerve-wracking at the start, especially when you see the big players that you would have watched on TV the day before and are all over the news. But when you go there, you just need to give it your all and know that you are there for a reason. You're there to show your best self, and it's where I want to eventually be, so I always embrace the challenges. There have been a few times where I've done well in 1v1 defending, but a couple of other times it has been difficult. Overall, it's an amazing experience. For the rest of the season, I want to solidify my spot at right back for the under-21s, and when I'm playing, I want to get more goals and assists. Also, we're not too far off from the top, so we're going to push as hard as we can to hopefully win the title.
Around the Academy. Wilshere happy yet frustrated. Jack Wilshere was pleased with his team's performance, despite conceding a late equaliser in a 2-2 draw with West Bromwich Albion in the under-18s Premier League on Saturday, April the 6th. We took the lead thanks to Max Daumann's stunning long-range strike in the first half, only to be pegged back by Dan Chimisiri. Chido Martin Obi restored our lead before half-time, marking his 9th goal in his last 3 games. And in the second half, Owen Asamoah's save from Adriel Walker's penalty preserved our advantage. But the Baggies managed to secure a point late in the game, courtesy of Archie Curtin. "I'm frustrated with the result, despite the quality of our performance," Wilshere said. "We need to figure out how to close out games. Even if we've dominated for 80 minutes, we have to anticipate the opposition's push in the final 10 minutes and be prepared to fight until the end. I believe we were prepared for the majority of the game, and we anticipated their direct style of play. We managed to cope with it reasonably well, but consistency throughout the full 90 minutes is crucial," he added. Wilshere has also been pleased with Daumann's development. Despite only being 14, Max has started the last 2 games for the under-18s and has now scored his first goal at this level. "I'm not surprised that he's adapted well because he's a talented player. It's a testament to the dedication and effort put in by the staff at Hale End over the past few years. While he still has a long way to go, it will require a combined effort from both Hale End and everyone here at the Sober Realty Training Centre to further his development. But he's on the right track, and hopefully he can maintain his form, stay fit and healthy, and continue to progress," Jack said. Finally, Wilshere expressed satisfaction with how new signing Braden Clark has settled in during his first 3 games at the club. "I think he's performed really well and is comfortable. Despite participating in only 3 games and having trained just 6 times, due to his involvement with the Wales under-17 national team during the international break, he seamlessly integrated into the team and displayed commendable performances. Moving forward, we'll observe his progress until the end of the season. Next season holds significance for him, as he'll be a second-year scholar, and particularly as a centre-back, where we hope to see his leadership qualities shine through. Overall, I'm genuinely pleased with his initial performances. It was an entertaining game." Arsenal under-21s head coach Mehmet Ali reflected on his side's encouraging performance following our eventful 2-2 draw against Stoke City in the Premier League 2 on Monday, April the 8th. "I thought it was a good, entertaining game. We displayed moments of real quality and class," he said. "But we were frustrated because Stoke City played a very direct style, excelling in winning the first contact and second balls, which disrupted our rhythm. In those instances, we needed to exert more control over the game, but unfortunately, we fell short in that aspect. I believe a draw was a fair result. Ali praised his players' commitment and dedication to getting a point after going 2-1 down in the second half. With the group of lads representing Arsenal, they always give everything in terms of their application and attitude. However, we lacked a bit of quality at times during the match. We struggled to cope with Stoke's style, which was frustrating, but credit to our players for continuing to push and ultimately securing a draw. Assessing their performance in duels and first contacts, Mehmet acknowledged improvements made in the second half. We did well, especially in the second half, but I still believe we could have performed better in the first half. It was encouraging to see how we adapted as the game progressed. Nonetheless, at this stage, our players should be executing these aspects from the first minute, and we should have been in a position to control the game more effectively than we did. Ali also discussed the advantages and disadvantages of not having a game for the last 4 weeks in the build-up to this game. There are both pros and cons to that. The benefits include having more time to spend on the training ground, allowing us to work closely with our first team and address various situations that require improvement. But nothing quite compares to the intensity of game day. I'm eager to see a response from the team in terms of dominating our opponents, as we have done in previous games, Ali added. It will be beneficial to return to the training pitch and prepare thoroughly for the match against Villa. I'm looking forward to seeing if we've made improvements and can translate them into a strong performance on the field. Academy Loan Watch. Beereth reaches cup final. Mika Beereth was on the winning side as Sturm Graz beat Red Bull Salzburg 4-3 in the Austrian Cup semi-final. He also provided an assist for David Schneck's goal and will play Rapid Vienna in the Austrian Cup final, which will take place on Wednesday, May the 1st. Mika then played 65 minutes of last Sunday's 1-0 win at home to LASK, as Sturm Graz remained second in the Austrian Bundesliga, 3 points behind RB Salzburg. In the championship, Brooke Norton Cuffey came on in the 69th minute of Millwall's 1-0 defeat away to Huddersfield Town last Saturday, and in the 89th minute of their 1-0 win over Leicester City on Tuesday. That victory lifted Millwall to 17th, 4 points clear of safety. One tier below, Kyan Edwards played 70 minutes of Leyton Orient's 3-1 win at home to Cheltenham Town. Orient are 10th in League One, 9 points off the playoffs with 4 games to go. Meanwhile, Bromley strengthened their grip on a National League playoff spot after picking up 4 points in 2 matches. They won 2-0 against Dorking on Good Friday before Kido Taylor-Hart picked the perfect time to score his first Ravens goal with a stoppage time equaliser to salvage a 1-1 draw at home to Woking after coming off the bench for the second half. Alex Kirk also played all 180 minutes for the promotion chasers. On Saturday, April the 6th, Taylor Hart came on for Kirk in the 79th minute of Bromley's 2-1 loss at home to Solihull Moors in the FA Trophy semi-final. In the National League South, Billy Vigor played 77 minutes of Eastbourne Borough's 1-0 win at home to Weymouth last Saturday. Eastbourne are just 1 point above the relegation zone. Under-18s are at it again. Jack Wilshire's under-18s maintained their incredible goal-scoring form by coming from behind to win 5-3 at Brighton & Hove Albion last Tuesday. The Gunners found themselves 2-0 down after just 7 minutes, but hit back to level the scores thanks to goals from Louis Copley and Mikhail Rosiak before a brace from Chido Martin Obi put us 4-2 up at the break. The hosts pulled one back 10 minutes after the restart, but Andre Annus made it 5-3 in the closing stages. That means we have now scored 20 goals in our last four matches, including the 2-2 draw with West Bromwich Albion, 5-2 win over Fulham, and 8-3 demolition of Crystal Palace. We'll bring you a full report and reaction from the boss in the Chelsea programme.
Visitors, Aston Villa. Today's visitors, formed 1874. Stadium, Villa Park, since 1897. Capacity, 42,657. Owner, V Sports. Honours, League Champions, 1893-94, 1895-96, 1896-97, 1898-99, 1899-1900, 1909-10, 1980-81. Second Tier Champions, 1937-38, 1959-60. Third Tier Champions, 1970-71. FA Cup Winners, 1886-87, 1894-95, 1896-97, 1904-05, 1912-13, 1919-20, 1956-57. League Cup Winners, 1960-61, 1974-75, 1976-77, 1993-94, 1994-95. Community Shield Winners, 1981. European Cup Winners, 1981-82. European Super Cup Winners, 1982. 2022-23, POTY, Douglas Luiz. Most appearances, Charlie Aitken, 1959-1976, 657. Most goals, Billy Walker, 1919-1933, 244. Famous fans, Prince William, royalty, Tom Hanks, Hollywood royalty, David Cameron, politician, Ozzy Osbourne, singer, Chris Wokes, cricketer. Arsenal's first full season under former Arsenal manager Unai Emery has been one to savour and could yet end with the club's first ever qualification for the UEFA Champions League. The last time Villa were in Europe's top club competition was when they entered the old European Cup as holders back in 1982-83. It would be some achievement if the Champions League anthem were to be belted out for the first time at Villa Park next season. As things stand, Birmingham's finest appear to be in a head-to-head contest with Tottenham for fourth, which will guarantee Champions League qualification. But there is also a good chance that with the new qualifying rules for the revamped 2024-25 competition, a fifth spot will be attributed to an English club based on the overall performances of Premier League teams in Europe. Villa themselves can contribute to that as they are currently in the midst of a Europa Conference League quarter-final against Lille. Villa are competing in Europe this season for the first time since 2010-11, thanks to their seventh place finish in last season's Premier League, which was a considerable feat in itself as they were languishing in 16th when Emery replaced Steven Gerrard as head coach in late October. It was their highest final placing in 12 years, a spell that included a three-year spell in the Championship following relegation in 2015-16. That momentum from last term has been carried forward into the current campaign, with Villa shrugging off an opening 5-1 defeat at Newcastle to win 12 of their next 16 league fixtures and surge to the upper reaches of the table. They won all of their first eight home games, the last of them 1-0 to Arsenal, before surprisingly being held 1-1 in the next by Sheffield United just before Christmas, when a win would have put them top. Since the turn of the year, Villa's form has not been quite so impressive, with just two wins out of six at home, the three defeats including a shock 4-0 loss to Spurs. In contrast, their 4-1 defeat at Manchester City earlier this month ended a run of 5 away games in the league without defeat, 1-3, drawn 2. With Europe also on the agenda, Villa go into the final weeks of the season with plenty still to play for. Unai Emery, manager, born 3rd of November 1971, Hondarribia, Spain. Previously, Lorca Deportiva, 2004-06, Almeria, 2006-08, Valencia, 2008-12, Spartak Moscow, 2012, Sevilla, 2013-16, Paris Saint-Germain, 2016-18, Arsenal, 2018-19, Villarreal, 2020-22. Unai is reasserting himself at Aston Villa as one of European football's foremost coaches, lifting the club to new heights in less than 18 months since he left Villarreal to succeed Steven Gerrard. This is, of course, the 52-year-old's second taste of English football, his first here at Arsenal lasting 78 matches and peaking with a run to the 2018-19 UEFA Europa League final. He joined the Gunners after 2 years with PSG that yielded 7 domestic trophies. Before that, he masterminded a historic hat-trick of Europa League successes for Sevilla and won it again with Villarreal, the club's first major trophy in 2021. Number 1. Emiliano Martinez, goalkeeper, born Mar del Plata, Argentina, 2nd of September 1992. Previously, Arsenal, Oxford, loan, Sheffield Wednesday, loan, Rotherham, loan, Wolves, loan, Getafe, loan, Reading, loan. After a decade as an Arsenal player which comprised multiple loan spells, Emi departed in September 2020 to join Villa, having shone twice at Wembley to help the Gunners win the FA Cup and Community Shield. He has raised his profile at Villa, starting 140 Premier League games for them and becoming a national hero for Argentina at the 2022 World Cup. Number 4. Ezri Konsa, right back, born Newham, 23rd of October 1997. Previously, Charlton, Brentford. Since joining Villa in July 2019 from Brentford, Ezri has become an essential component of the team's defence, whether playing at right-back or in the centre. A member of England's 2017 FIFA Under-20 World Cup winning squad, he made his senior debut as an early substitute for the injured Kyle Walker against Brazil at Wembley last month. His versatility could earn him a squad place at Euro 2024. Number 14. Pau Torres, centre-back. Born Villarreal, Spain, 16th of January 1997. Previously, Villarreal, Malaga, loan. A prominent member of the Villarreal side that won the 2021 Europa League under Unai Emery, beating Manchester United on penalties in the final, Pau Torres renewed acquaintances with his ex-boss when he joined Villa last summer, having played 173 times for his hometown club. The left-footed centre-back has proved the perfect replacement for Tyrone Mings, badly injured on the opening day of the season. Number 12. Lucas Digne, left-back, born Mieux, France, 20th of July 1993. Previously, Lille, PSG, Roma, loan, Barcelona, Everton. Experienced left-back Lucas is closing on a century of appearances for Villa since his move from Everton in January 2022, and this is his most consistent season for the Midlanders to date. He will match his total of 28 Premier League appearances in 2022-23 if he features today. A Nations League winner with France in 2021, he also won domestic titles and cups with both PSG and Barcelona before joining Everton in 2018. Number 7. John McGinn, central midfield, born Glasgow, 18th of October 1994. Previously, St Mirren, Hibernian. Villa skipper John returned from a three-match ban in last weekend's 3-3 draw at home to Brentford. Signed from Hibs in August 2018, the 29-year-old left-footer has become a key midfielder not only for Villa in the Premier League, notching 6 goals this season alone, including the winner against Arsenal in December, but also for Scotland, whose colours he will proudly wear this summer at Euro 2024. Number 9. Youri Tielemans, central midfield. Born St. Peter's Leuven, Belgium, 7th of May 1997. Previously Anderlecht, Monaco. A Belgian champion with Anderlecht at 16, Youri has now, at 26, collected 67 caps, scoring 7 goals, including both in Belgium's recent 2-2 draw against England at Wembley, where he also scored a spectacular winner in the 2021 FA Cup final for Leicester against Chelsea. He joined Villa last summer, and although not a regular at first, has started 9 of the club's last 11 league games. Number 31, Leon Bailey, right wing. Born Kingston, Jamaica, 9th of August 1997. Previously, Genk, Bayer Leverkusen. Leon's third season at Villa following his arrival from Bayer Leverkusen in August 2021 is proving to be far and away his best, with 8 league goals already to his name, including the winner at home to champions Manchester City, despite being used mostly as substitute before Christmas. A left-footed right winger of skill and pace, the 26-year-old is a Jamaican international with 30 caps and 5 goals. Number 11, Ollie Watkins, centre forward. Born Torquay, 30th of December 1995. Previously Exeter, Weston-super-Mare, Lone, Brentford. Ollie became Villa's record signing when he joined for £28 million in 2020, following a brilliant 2019-20 season with Brentford. The versatile 28-year-old striker has been Villa's top scorer the past 3 seasons and has already beaten his previous best Premier League tally with 18 this term, strengthening his case to become the potential England understudy for Harry Kane at Euro 2024. 2023-2024 Stat Pack, Premier League. Match facts and total cards. Arsenal. Arsenal have won 5 of their last 6 home Premier League games against Aston Villa, losing the other 3-0 in November 2020. Yellow cards, 46. Red cards, 2. Aston Villa. Following their 1-0 win against them at Villa Park in December, Aston Villa are looking to complete just their 3rd Premier League double over Arsenal. Yellow cards, 83. Red cards, 2. Goals. Arsenal, 75. Aston Villa, 66. Expected goals. Arsenal, 62.3. Aston Villa, 55.9. Goals conceded. Arsenal, 24. Aston Villa, 49. Expected goals against. Arsenal, 21.6. Aston Villa, 48.9. Clean sheets. Arsenal, 14. Aston Villa, 7. Shots. Arsenal, 517. Aston Villa, 451. Average possession. Arsenal, 60.1%. Aston Villa, 54.3%. Shot conversion rate. Arsenal, 14.5%. Aston Villa, 14.6%. Points gained after trailing. Arsenal, 8. Aston Villa, 14. Points dropped after leading. Arsenal, 9. Aston Villa, 5. Goal times. Arsenal, 0-15 minutes, scored 10, conceded 4. 16-30 minutes, scored 11, conceded 4. 31-45 minutes, scored 13, conceded 3. 46-60 minutes, scored 11, conceded 7. 61-75 minutes, scored 13, conceded 1. 76-90 minutes, scored 17, conceded 5. Aston Villa, 0-15 minutes, scored 6, conceded 5. 16-30 minutes, scored 19, conceded 5. 31-45 minutes, scored 7, conceded 6. 46-60 minutes, scored 7, conceded 15. 61-75 minutes, scored 13, conceded 10. 76-90 minutes, scored 14, conceded 8. Powered by EA Sports, Premier League Opta official data. Scouting report, text Adrian Clark. Tactics, former Arsenal head coach Unai Emery likes his Aston Villa side to be set up in a 4-2-3-1, 4-4-1-1 or a 4-4-2, and no matter which shape he deploys, they're usually tough to beat. Tactically, the Spaniard wants to congest the middle third of the pitch, crowding space for opponents who want time on the ball. His back four will squeeze up towards the halfway line, compacting space between the lines. This helps them win turnovers, and from there they have the power and pace to hurt you. This pressure football is risky because it leaves space in behind, but they have a well-oiled offside trap and a terrific sweeper-keeper in Emi Martinez to help them cope with that. Style of play. By using twin strikers who are both quick and willing to run the channels, Villa are excellent at launching fast breaks. If they want to be more cautious here at Emirates Stadium, they will start with a lone striker. But out wide, Villa always have speedy wingers that gain territory through ball carries or sprints beyond the full-backs. Look out for Leon Bailey and Moussa Diaby whenever they launch those counters. No Premier League side has produced more direct attacks than the Midlanders, 77, who transition extremely well. Strengths. Villa strong at both ends of the pitch, where striker Ollie Watkins and keeper Emi Martinez are hugely influential performers. England international Watkins has netted 15 open play goals, the most in the division, from a total tally of 18. His movement is sharp and he can dispatch a wide range of clinical finishes. World Cup winner Martinez has developed superbly since leaving the Gunners in 2020. According to the stats, he has prevented an extra 6.4 goals this term, an impressive number that's second only to Manchester United's Andre Onana. Emery's brand of high-octane pressure football also limits the number of quality chances opponents can create, and this major improvement has helped them sustain a top-four challenge. Facing an average of just 11.19 shots per match, only the current top three protect their own goal better than the Villans. Weaknesses. The Villa midfield have been exceptional this term, but injuries and suspensions have weakened them ahead of today's game. Boubacar Kamara is out for the season, and it was a hammer blow to lose star man Douglas Luiz to suspension for this contest. Vital to their style of play in and out of possession, the Brazilian leaves a big hole. Youngster Jacob Ramsey has also been ruled out, so Emery is light on options inside the engine room. Defending set pieces has also been a weakness in 2023/24. They have leaked 14 goals from corners and free kicks. Only two clubs have let in more. With Arsenal so strong from set plays and outstanding in central midfield, these will be areas of concern for Emery. Key man. In the absence of those two key midfielders, it will be vital for Scotland international John McGinn to step up to the plate this afternoon. The 29-year-old is vastly experienced and can produce moments of magic, usually with his cultured left boot. This season he has 6 goals and 4 assists to his name, with one of those strikes proving to be the winner against us back in December. McGinn covers a lot of ground in midfield and carries the ball well when Villa are on the front foot, often curling dangerous crosses into the box. Out of possession, he is also an aggressive player that doesn't mind getting stuck in. Emery needs a big performance from him today.
Match action. UEFA Champions League, quarter-final, first leg, Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, 8 p.m, Emirates Stadium. Arsenal 2, Bayern Munich 2. Key moments,
12 minutes. Saka finishes well with his left foot low inside the far post. 16. White shoots straight at the keeper inside the area. 18. Gnabry slots the ball home for the equaliser. 32. Sané is fouled in the box and Kane scores the penalty. 76. Trossard scores after great work from Jesus. Match facts. This was the fourth time we have drawn at home in the first leg of a UEFA Champions League two-legged knockout tie, progressing from one of the previous three. Bukayo Saka has been directly involved in 8 goals in the UEFA Champions League this season, 4 goals, 4 assists. Only Thierry Henry, 10 in 2002-03 and 11 in 2003-04, has had a hand in more in a single campaign for us in the competition. Leandro Trossard has scored 6 goals as a substitute in all competitions this season. No player has more from the bench for clubs in Europe's Big Five leagues in 2023-24. Quotes, Leandro Trossard. It's a mixed feeling. I think we started so well in the first 15 minutes, we could have been up by 2 or 3 goals. And then you can see their quality as well, especially up front. Their individual qualities, they're so strong, especially on the counter-attack, and that's where they hurt us today. At the end, I think we're happy, obviously, with the equaliser. It brings us back on equal terms, and then we have to do it there.
Teams. For Arsenal. Manager, Mikel Arteta. Shirt, red with white sleeves. Shorts, white. Socks, white. 1. Aaron Ramsdale, goalkeeper. 2. William Saliba. 4. Ben White. 5. Thomas Partey. 6. Gabriel Magalhães. 7. Bukayo Saka. 8. Martin Odegaard. 9. Gabriel Jesus. 10. Emile Smith-Rowe. 11. Gabriel Martinelli. 12. Julian Timber. 14. Eddie Nketiah. 15. Jakub Kiwior. 17. Cedric Soares. 18. Takehiro Tomiyasu. 19. Leandro Trossard. 20. Jorginho. 21. Fabio Vieira. 22. David Raya, goalkeeper. 24. Rhys Nelson. 25. Mohamed Elneny. 29. Kai Havertz. 31. Carl Hein, goalkeeper. 35. Oleksandr Zinchenko. 41. Declan Rice. 63. Ethan Nwaneri. For Aston Villa. Manager, Unai Emery. Shirt, mid-blue with navy blue. Shorts, mid-blue. Socks, mid-blue. 1. Emiliano Martinez, goalkeeper. 2. Matty Cash. 3. Diego Carlos. 4. Ezri Konsa. 5. Tyrone Mings. 6. Douglas Luiz. 7. John McGinn. 8. Yuri Tielemans. 10. Emiliano Buendia. 11. Ollie Watkins. 12. Lucas Digne. 14. Pau Torres. 15. Alex Moreno. 16. Callum Chambers. 17. Clement Longley. 18. Joe Gauchi, goalkeeper. 19. Moussa Diaby. 22. Nicolo Zaniolo. 24. John Duran. 25. Robin Olsen. 27. Morgan Rogers. 29. Kane Kessler-Hayden. 30. Courtney House. 31. Leon Bailey. 41. Jacob Ramsey. 44. Boubacar Kamara. 47. Timur Ogbonnam. 64. James Wright, goalkeeper. 69. Finlay Munro. 71. Amari Kellyman. 78. Sam Proctor, goalkeeper. Today's referee, David Coote. Assistant referees, Timothy Wood, Mark Scholes. Fourth official, Paul Tierney. VAR official, Peter Banks. Additional VAR official, Nick Hopton. Today's other fixtures. Liverpool v Crystal Palace, 2 p.m. West Ham United v Fulham, 2 p.m. No room for racism. The Arsenal Foundation, helping young people fulfil their potential through education and sport. Why ask the barrister if you can be the barrister? Lavazza coffee machine from £1. Discover more at lavazza.co.uk.
Soakin, Arsenal FC, official money transfer partner. Supercharge your global payments and money transfers. Visit soakin.com. Soakin is a trading name and a registered trademark of Plato Capital Limited. For further information on accessing the Soakin app and related payment services in your country of residence, please refer to www.soakin.com.
Arsenal's new 23-24 home kit. Shop now or visit the Armoury.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.